This is CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting to you from Simon Fraser University's Burnaby campus in British Columbia.
Quick note that the following episode of Canada Land may contain subject matter and language that some people will find offensive.
I'm Jesse Brown, and today we're talking about whether or not it is okay to humanize Russian soldiers as they wage war on Ukraine.
You have to really hate these people in order for it to work. If you're ambivalent towards them, or you understand that they're people too, you don't want to fight them.
Wait for that. Pray for Ukraine. Last week, Trump welcomed Putin back to diplomacy. The two had a 90-minute phone call, reportedly to start sorting out the terms of the end of the war. Zelensky was not on that call. It's been 3 years since Russia invaded Ukraine. 3 years since the world's leaders and media began to rally support for Ukraine, a democratic, pluralistic country defending itself in a lopsided war of pure, undeserved expansionist aggression. But a lot has changed since then, both in terms of the kind of governments now running the world and in terms of how the media feels towards Ukraine and how much attention the media has for Ukraine. And as we inch closer to what seems like a likely forced truce, one in which Ukraine will have to make major, painful concessions, my mind turns towards Canada's media and the role that it seems to have played in capitulating to Vladimir Putin. Maybe you know the story that I'm going to talk about? That time Canada funded Russian war propaganda? That is the story, as I understood it. That's the story we were told. The story of a Canadian-funded documentary called Russians at War.
Russians at War shows the invasion of Ukraine from the point of view of Moscow's troops, made by a Russian-Canadian filmmaker. The backlash from the Ukrainian community has been strong.
The doc was supposed to show during the Toronto International Film Festival, but organizers canceled the screening over, quote, significant threats to festival operations and public safety.
We had been victims of that propaganda for years.
Screening propaganda at a time when a country in Europe is trying to wipe out another country, literally genocide, having a film like this, which tries to normalize the aggressors who are facing indictment for war crimes, it's unacceptable.
There is very clearly good and evil in this war. It's not right for Canadian public money to be supporting the screening and production of a film like this.
That last voice you heard was, of course, Chrystia Freeland, our deputy prime minister at the time. And you heard her. It's clear who is good and who is evil in this war. And Canadian public money was funding the evil side. The funding came through TVO, Ontario's public broadcaster. Full disclosure, I used to work for them. And my first thought was, what were they thinking? The filmmaker is a Russian Canadian who worked for RT for years. RT, Putin's propaganda wing. And then she embedded with Russian forces on the front lines. Well, how exactly did she do that? Not without the consent of the Russian army, one would assume. We are told again and again that Russia controls one of the most sophisticated misinformation, disinformation, propaganda machines that the world has ever known. Putin's people are fed a steady diet of lies justifying the invasion of Ukraine. And Russia is even in our algorithms, spreading fake news and skewing our elections. So clearly, this Anastasia Trofimova is not somebody who we should be handing large sums of Canadian public money to so that she can tell us a story of sympathy for Russian troops. I mean, it seemed like we were not only getting played here, but we were paying for the privilege. The privilege of Russian war propaganda. That's what I thought. Until I did something that you can't do. I watched the film. There is no way to see this film and understand it as a piece of Russian state or military propaganda. The best evidence, the conclusive argument against that narrative is the film itself. It is not subtle about what it depicts. The Russian soldiers are miserable. Battle-shocked. Traumatized. Crying. They seem diminished, and they repeatedly express deep reservations about the ethics of what they're doing. We see the bodies of their fallen comrades. We see them contemplate whether or not they are committing war crimes. We hear them ask, what did my comrade die for? What is the point of this f***ing war? It ruins everything. What will our ancestors think of us for what we're doing now? If this is Russian war propaganda, it's the worst propaganda I have ever seen. The film is an astonishing document, and once I saw it, I knew that my understanding of this story, via Chrystia Freeland's words, via the protests of Ukrainian-Canadian groups, was 100% wrong.
Ior, Michael Shishin is the Ukrainian-Canadian Congress CEO and its executive director. Ior, good morning.
Good morning, David. We're concerned that TIFF and this filmmaker have been, you know, fundamentally misportraying how it was made and what it's been made to do. And I don't think it's a rah-rah Russian movie, but I think it's about sort of the both sides, have perspectives, the victimization of Russian soldiers, and not showing and not telling the viewers that, you know, hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians have been killed and raped and murdered and tortured by this army that she's filming and humanizing. And I think we're extremely concerned about the context that, you know, she's portraying this as an anti-war film, which I think is a real distortion of the word anti-war. And we just cannot believe, and I think many Canadians join us in saying, we cannot believe that a filmmaker like this had this kind of access, unfettered access, inside a Russian military unit.
You've talked quite a bit about this film. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't had a chance to see it, and I don't think I will have a chance to see it.
He hadn't even seen it. And to this day, you can't see it either. The film was dropped by TVO. So what actually happened here? And how did this film even get made? Is this a story about Russian propaganda or about Canadian censorship? Well, all of those questions will be answered in a moment when I'll be joined by the producers of Russians at War and by its director, filmmaker and journalist Anastasia Trofimova. Wait for it.
I'm Sean Farnell. I'm a consulting producer for Independent Documentary Productions. I help filmmakers launch and land their films.
My name is Cornelia Princhpay. I am a documentary producer, and I produced Russians at War.
And I'm Anastasia Trofimova. I'm the director and cinematographer of Russians at War.
What is the state of the film itself right now and its viewability?
Well, we're planning to release it in the spring, and so people will get a chance to see it online. That's our plan, but we've got some sort of ducks to put in a row before that. They won't be able to see it on TVO. TVO is still, the board is still stuck by its, we no longer support this film, even though, to be clear, TVO was a partner in the film from day one.
How am I to understand their decision as anything but cowardice and buckling in the face of political pressure?
On a Friday, they put out a statement in support of the film during the festival. On the Monday, I have coffee with the head of documentary and children. She's saying, how are you guys doing? We still support you. You know, concerned about the threats that we've been getting. The management was behind the film. The programming department was behind the film. It was the board that the day, Tuesday the 10th, the same day that Krista Freeland came out with a statement, it was shocking. That same day is when the day that the TVO board, and I'm underlying board, made this decision, that same day, unilaterally, to withdraw support from the film against the wishes of management and programming.
On September 7th, there's a group called the Ukraine-Canadian Parliamentary Friendship Group. On September 7th, Ukrainian MPs send a letter to their Canadian colleagues calling on their Canadian counterparts to prevent the screening of Russians at War, the propaganda film, at TIFF. And then 3 days later, Chrystia Freeland denounces the film.
Yeah,
and then a day later, TVO withdraw. It's not hard to connect the dots.
Part of me wonders if there's any legitimacy at all. And, you know, the first casualty of war is truth. And to the notion that this film is a threat to their cause in that it humanizes the Russian soldiers, and it does, I wonder about that. Because they are human. And it would be quite possible to tell the story of any soldier fighting for the most malicious military campaign. They have very little autonomy or say in what they're doing, and they are human beings who are being asked to do terrible things, and terrible things are being done to them. And just watching people deal with life and death and these horrible questions, you can't help but sympathize and relate to them. And so to this question of appropriateness, would Germans at war, maybe that would not be an appropriate thing to do during the Second World War, to humanize the Nazis in that way. And then I think, as a journalist, oh my God, I wish that film existed. That would be a document that would be of so much historical value and journalistic value.
I totally agree. As a documentary filmmaker, if you got access to a group of Nazis fighting in the Second World War, wouldn't you want to document that?
Mm-hmm.
My God, of course you would. And 50 years later, if we had that, good, bad, humanized, not humanized,
you're seeing something that you would otherwise not see. You would know things you wouldn't
absolutely
know.
But
imagine the impact on these films within these countries.
Yes.
Seeing that film at the time in World War II, if you're German, seeing this film, if you're Russian inside Russia, and you understand the potency of and the importance of documenting these stories.
Yeah.
Anastasia, this question of humanizing people who might be doing really horrible things. When you're in the field and when you're embedded with people, you also become connected and start to care about them. Were you torn between the likelihood that you would be creating a document that makes people sympathetic and see, oh, let's see this from the Russian army's point of view, versus whatever you were feeling towards them as people who were facing these terrible circumstances, you know, as an eyewitness?
The main point that I want to say is I cannot go in there and judge. I don't go in there and thinking I'm going to make a film that's going to help a side. It's a tragedy. This war is a tragedy for our region. It's a tragedy for Russia. It's a tragedy for Ukraine. There are lives lost. There are sons that will never come back. There are husbands that will never come back. There are fathers that will never come back on both sides. I didn't go in there to make a film with a political message in a way. I just came there to document without judgment. Because everything I knew about the soldiers at that point, it was either from the Russian media, where they were heroes that never die, or from the Western media, where they were rapists, war criminals, and nothing else. And I went in there with these two narratives in mind, and even having filmed in war zones, being Russian, and knowing the mentality, even me, I was surprised how thick that fog of war was, that it was a shock for me how ordinary they were. This is not a pro-Ukraine film. This is not a pro-Russian film. This is a film about people. And this is a film that I was hoping for could bring about some sort of understanding. And what I was hoping for, it could, in its own little way, ease up that whole fog of war and that propaganda, the dehumanizing propaganda, because in every single war, that's the most important thing for the war to continue. You have to really hate these people. You have to really hate both sides in order for it to work. If you're ambivalent towards them, or you understand that they're people too, you don't want to fight them. You don't want to sign weapons packages. You don't want to do these things, right? You just kind of want to maybe find other ways. And for me personally, it was important just to document without judgment.
You might not be partisan, but sometimes the truth is partisan. And the facts of this may just be to present things as neutrally as possible may lead people to a very strong conclusion about what is happening. I've shared my thoughts about what the film left me with. It left me with a very strong impression that these guys themselves don't even believe in what they're doing. And this is a terrible waste. I don't want to get all like documentary ethics 101, but you show the image of a crying Russian soldier as neutrally and as unbiased as possible. The very fact that you're showing that soldier, unless you show the same image of the Ukrainian soldier, it does something. It does something. A human cannot help but project and connect. Frankly, in war, it may be necessary for Ukrainian soldiers to not see the humanity. We can talk about propaganda as turning the enemy into something subhuman, and that's a horrible mechanism for leading a war of aggression. But it's also something that's necessary in a war of protection and self-defense. Maybe I'm twisting myself in a pretzel here to see the Ukrainian point of view of this, that maybe it doesn't serve them for Russians to be humanized at all at this moment because they're fighting for their lives.
We always knew it was going to be sensitive for any Ukrainian to see this film. Of course it is. They've been going through hell. Russia invaded their country. Of course we knew it was going to be sensitive. Did we think they were going to use the film in a way, twisting it as their own propaganda tool? No. The irony is, if this film, and when this film is shown in Russia, it may undermine the war effort. That's the irony.
Can I ask about that for a second? Because one of the things that I said earlier, which was that this doesn't get made without consent. Now I hear from you, Anastasia, that like whatever levels of consent you got were at low levels. There's no other explanation. Because, you know, not only is this an indictment of the Russian war effort, I mean, they're on there complaining about Russian propaganda themselves, right? The soldiers themselves are saying, I only joined the army because I saw something on TV and it's all a lie. It's very plausible, likely, if not certain to me, that no, this did not have the stamp of approval of Putin at any kind of official level. All of which is to say, I started to get really worried for your sources. Because they were showing you everything. And they were incredibly forthcoming about their emotions and their beliefs. And we're seeing, again, the bodies of their compatriots. And I thought, these guys may pay a price for talking to you. And you may pay a price. Can you show your face in Russia? Can you go back?
I don't know what my status is. So there has been no official response to this film. As for the soldiers, for me, it was always more important about their safety than my own because it's a responsibility that I have. I went there. I asked them. I convinced them. They agreed to tell me their stories. So I was very persistent in bringing up the question of safety with them for the entire 7 months that I was there. The fact that I am a Russian-Canadian and this film was brought to Canada, right? Russia and Canada don't have the best relations at this point, right? So I'm in this fantastic situation where I might be perceived by both sides. Are you like one of theirs? Are you a spy from there? Are you a spy from there? And this is the price you pay for trying to make a documentary where nobody else can go.
Would you go back to Russia?
Well, at this point, I don't know if I can go back.
Well, the producing team is very concerned about Anastasia's safety and security, and it seems more likely she cannot go back to Russia for the foreseeable future.
And to be clear, Anastasia screened the film with several lawyers, both inside and outside of Russia, who are familiar with sort of military law, all those sort of things that we were concerned about, because we obviously are very concerned for our subjects. Anastasia is in a position to be able to leave Russia and is now outside of Russia. But for them, they're still there. So, you know, she had very long conversations and we had screenings with them and they said she's the one that's in most danger, Anastasia, for having made the film.
Mm-hmm. Have any of them gotten into trouble? Do we know?
No, not that I know of. No.
Not that you know of.
But it was very important for me to try to show the film to a couple of soldiers who, when I was still in Moscow, some of them were passing through Moscow because they were either wounded or going on leave. So I sat them down and I showed them the cut to basically get their feedback. I didn't, you know, miss something. And they said, yes, we've never seen anything like this on Russian TV.
I know that one of the soldiers said to Anastasia, well, what are they going to do to us? Like, we're at the front. They can't, you know.
They might die.
They could die tomorrow.
Yeah, they can't send us further than the front.
I don't mean to suggest in these questions that if something were to happen to them, it's your fault. Because I think that you were very, by your description, this is a deal that documentarians and journalists make very often is, I want to tell the story of what's real here. It's going to be known that you told me, and we can go through together to take away anything that's unnecessarily endangering to you. But yeah, there might be repercussions for you. Are you comfortable with that? And when somebody agrees to that, you don't have control over what happens to them. And the only other option is to not tell the truth about what's happening. You have to admire when people are in these extreme situations. And I'm wondering, as I watch this film, why are they letting her see this? Why are they telling her these things? And you could explain this, well, they just got used to you.
There was also something else. It was just the whole idea that I was interested in their story, and I was not afraid to live the life that they lived.
Yes, I think that you earn their respect by being there, but what kept coming into my brain was they want the world to see this.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can feel the fact that they're thinking, they're putting their lives on the line, for they don't know why. Nobody knows what's going on. Their family are being fed bull. And they want to shout out the truth. This is the truth of what's actually going on.
Let's return to Canada here, because I don't think we've even named all of the parties that are responsible for what happened here. What happened at TIFF?
A lot of things happened at TIFF. I think there's a combination of a Ukrainian community that was sensitive, a Ukrainian lobby group that was very much about supporting the war and the war effort. There's also the foreign Ukrainian, in other words, local ambassadors, local, who are very much involved. And then there's MPs who are very much involved, Krista Freeland, Yvonne Baker. And you have to remember the context of the time. This was just before the American election. There was a fear, I think, of the war effort was going to be stalled, that Ukraine was going to be cut off from their funding and their weapons. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Ukraine wants to win the war. Well, that was looking more and more difficult for either side to win the war. I think that that is getting more and more clear, that this is a stalemate that's been going on for 2 years and people are dying and continuing to die. But the documentary is undermining that war effort. Mm-hmm. And that's what it was about. That's the larger context. Yes. And then everything gets piled on TIFF.
But I mean, don't show this film because it's bad for our war effort is not something that TIFF... You had a role at TIFF, Sean.
I was a documentary programmer at TIFF. I started the documentary program there 20 years ago.
So am I right in saying that Ukraine's war effort, no matter how much support one might feel towards it, should not be a determining factor in TIFF's programming choices?
I think TIFF was very prepared for handling geopolitics at this year's festival, mostly around the film set in Gaza and around Gaza. And in fact, those protocols came more in use for Russians at War and the pushback against Russians at War in cinema protests, out of cinema protest, media, letters from many people. I think that it was Russians at War that was the target of such a protest campaign was a bit of a surprise and obviously consumed huge amounts of bandwidth for the festival.
And how did they respond?
I thought they responded very effectively.
Didn't they pull it temporarily?
They paused it. I mean, you know, the film was screening, three screenings on the final weekend at Scotiabank, the largest public venue on closing weekend, all public, very hard to secure, underground parking, etc.
I wasn't sure what to make because they said, well, we're not censoring, we're not pulling it. This is a security concern. And I'm like, is that bull?
No, that was real.
I mean, I was on the receiving end of a lot of that because I somehow became de facto our online spokesperson because I was the only one with an X account. and so I had seen it. It was visceral and material. What their staff was experiencing was exponentially more. And
TIFF staff was getting threats.
Oh, yeah.
TIFF's threats were getting very...
From who?
Well, good question. A lot of it would have been online, but in person at the box offices, et cetera. There's a couple things here. There's the online protest, social meme, the physical protests, certainly around that first press industry screening on the Tuesday of the festival were very heated. TIFF was handled that. They handled some in-cinema protests at that industry screening quite well. But I think the possibility of shutting down Scotiabank, the protesters shutting down Scotiabank on the final weekend of the festival, it just was too disruptive, unsafe for the patrons of the festival, for their staff. And to their credit, they held tight and screened the film on the Tuesday following at their own venue, Lightbox, easier to secure.
Uh-huh. They did still screen it. And...
they held fast. Yeah. We've had other festivals that face the same circumstances that had to cancel screenings very much at the last minute.
Who was that?
Festivals in Zurich and festival in Athens. Mm-hmm. And they did not rescreen the film. So I felt TIFF, and it's not just on TIFF. We screened at the Windsor Film Festival. We screened at a little festival in Lunenburg, a documentary festival. All three Canadian festivals screened the film, mm-hmm. held strong to their principles. And that has not happened everywhere. So I was really, really more or less proud of the fortitude and resilience of these cultural events to hold to their program.
It was a big protest. I passed it. Yeah. This was a large protest outside of a cinema saying, stop this film. And Cornelia, there was a parliamentary committee that took a look at this film. Tell me about that process. What did you make of that?
Well, unbeknownst to us, there's a committee that was looking into Russian disinformation campaigns in Canada. Important topic for sure. Well, they had the head of the Ukrainian-Canadian Congress on to speak to this issue. And it was, I think, a few weeks after TIFF, maybe 3 or 4 weeks.
The Ukrainian-Canadian community has been the target of Soviet and now Russian disinformation for many decades. We also would like to speak to the Russian propaganda film, Russians at War, which was produced by a former producer of Russian television. An example of the kind of naivete that we have in Canada, which not only condones but finances the whitewashing of genocide.
Let's drill down a little bit on the Canadian Media Fund. $340,000 of taxpayer money went to Anastasia Trofimov. Anyway, she was a former employee of RT, Russian Television Today. Do you believe that the government of Canada should recoup those funds for funding Russian misinformation?
Absolutely. I think it's scandalous that Canadian taxpayer money funded this production.
It was all very like Red Scare vibes.
Yeah.
Sean, you mentioned Red Scare vibes. You mentioned that Anastasia was painted as a Russian agent. We've also seen under cover of parliamentary privilege, Chris Alexander accused another journalist, David Pugliese, of being compromised by the KGB for decades. We have seen a figure no less than the Prime Minister suggest that Jordan Peterson is funded by Russia with no further details or essentially suggesting he's a traitor to Canada. Lots of negative things to say about Jordan Peterson, but that wouldn't have been one of them, that he's a treasonous. We have seen NDP MP Peter Julian suggest that the only reason why Pierre Poilievre is prime minister is because he was installed through a Russian misinformation campaign. I don't know that Red Scare is an exaggeration. It does feel like whatever the merits of the anti-Russian sentiment right now, this notion that it's okay to point a finger at one another and suggest that you are working for the Reds, working for Putin, has become normalized and often in ways that there's no recourse for people. As a Russian-Canadian, Anastasia, I'm wondering what you think about this. I don't want to exaggerate. I mean, McCarthyism was a whole other order of magnitude. But I don't think Red Scare is the wrong way to put it. It does feel like there's an atmosphere of fear around Russia right now.
I would say, as a Canadian, that Canadian politicians are using all these fear-mongering tactics to basically shut up any kind of conversation and to paint anyone that they don't like in a bad way just by calling them, you know, a Russian agent. It's ridiculous.
It takes it to another level when Chrystia Freeland comes out with a statement. But of course, what happens is the Conservatives now pick it up and use it as a way to attack the Liberals. So it almost it's been used as a political football.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, the liberals are funding Russian propaganda. I mean, that's what it becomes, you know, and it almost doesn't even matter that it's just, this is the latest thing.
Have the conservatives suggested that the liberals have funded?
Yeah. James Bessant at the committee said, how could the Canadian government put $340,000 into this film, this Russian propaganda film?
Uh-huh.
That's the liberal government, right? That's the attack of the liberal government.
But TVO is provincial, which is conservative.
The $340,000 came from CMF, which is a federal funded.
Oh, I see.
Right.
From the Canadian Media Fund. So yeah. they could